Well, good afternoon and welcome to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host, producer, and all-around good guy today on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We're getting rid of Mark Manning. Get out of here now. We have a full house with artists and poets and performers. We've got Miles Nettinger, who is a Kansas City artist, graduated from the Kansas City Art Institute. We also have the talented Sean Pavey, who's here with his new release. Gosh, it's got a great title, which I really love. Nobody Steals the Towels from a Motel 6. And that just recently came out. Then we're going to follow up with the lovely and talented Heather Thornton, who's a musician, singer, songwriter. She's premiering her new CD release at Lakeside Nature Center. It's Heather's Art Garden. It's a party and holiday show, so we'll have her at the end of the program, and she'll talk to us all about her music and the festivities surrounding that. But for now, I want to welcome Miles Nettinger, who joins us in the first half of the program. He's going to discuss his art, his work, and upcoming projects. So welcome, Miles.
Thanks for having me, Maria.
You bet. Now, Miles graduated from the Kansas City Art Institute in 2000 with a BFA in sculpture. His artistic visualization has been informed by his experience in the commercial and industrial electrical industry. Now, as an electrician, he has discovered real-life functions for color coding, tape, conduit bending, and installations. The utilization of trigonometry, algebra, equations, and geometric functions. These experiences drastically informed his artistic practice, and in recent exhibitions also include the Anatomy of the Palace of Wisdom City, Ice Arts in Kansas City, Missouri, Art and the Pro Flatiron Building in New York. He's also shown work in the Nerman Museum of Contemporary Art here in Overland Park, Kansas, and the Finch Gallery in Chicago, Illinois. And What's the Matter with Kansas Rare Gallery in New York, New York, Family Event Home for the Holidays, Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art here in Kansas City. He's also exhibited through the Charlotte Street Fund, and let's see, and he is a Rocket Grant recipient, and Charlotte Street Foundation Award recipient. And just recently, he was nominated for the AIA KC Allied Arts and Craftsmanship Award this year. So, again, welcome, Miles. And you have done so much in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I've been very busy. Very fortunate.
Yeah, let's talk about your work, because I know that in one way you use work materials from your work as an electrician, conduits and that. So let's talk about how that informs your art.
Yeah, well, previously I really tried to keep my artwork and my electrical work very separate, very segregated.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really became very difficult. I started to see, you know, kind of like fine art installations, fine art influences at work. And in the studio, I really started to see a lot of linear elements, you know, a lot of areas in my work and practice that associated with my construction electrical experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, in one of your artist statements, you had mentioned that you work with a lot of crummy things. So can you talk about that? What sort of defines the crummy things that you work with?
Well, I really feel like as people, we really try to kind of impose a hierarchy on material in our surroundings. And there's, you know, certain objects that we would consider crummy, you know, drinking straws, you know, things of that nature. And it's really, you know, these things that I want to try to elevate and, you know, put in a realm of fine art.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with some of your work, let's talk about the scale. The most recent work that I've seen posted on Facebook, I guess, were pieces of let me see. It was metal on Oh, no, twisted wire on dye board, which is an aluminum composite material that is pretty lightweight. So
yeah, I actually was utilizing kind of influences at work. You know, I was taking category 3 wire, which is basically telephone wire, and twisting that wire into small patches. And mounting that to dive on board.
And so will they be seen as a series, or is it just one big, you know, installation? How is that going to work?
Well, right now they're in my studio, and they are displayed in a grid of 64 units. And what's really nice about this piece is that it's very flexible in the type of installation that you can do. You know, 64 units, so you can basically, like, cascade this piece on a wall, like, down a stairwell. You know, you can arrange it very linearly, like, you know, across a wall to span a, you know, a very large area.
Now, is it similar to some of the work that you produced for the City Ice Arts here in Kansas City? Is it?
It actually is. The spawn of this work really came from that large-scale installation. That installation was really kind of a composite and made up of, you know, just a lot of, like, smaller linear elements that were arranged together.
You know, in the green room, we had talked, we had a discussion about growing up, that some of the experiences that you had growing up and reconstructing and revising your childhood home had a big impact on your work. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. When I was 11, my parents and I moved to not a historic home in Independence, but a home that was over 100 years old. And they had some really large ambitions to, you know, remodel. So, you know, we as a family started to tear out the lath and plaster and, you know, basically demo this, you know, older home. And I really started to see, you know, kind of like the inner workings of a house, and started to notice, like, that this home actually has an anatomy. And it actually has, you know, components I didn't know about.
It's sort of the bones, if you want to call it that, and everything else that that's added to it, is sort of the arteries and the vent work and duct work and all that sort of thing. And so as a child growing up and seeing this, is this first and foremost in your mind when you create a new work of art, or do you have a different way of working altogether?
That really isn't, like, on the forefront of my consciousness when I make. Kind of the things that, you know, influence me are, like, situations that I find at work, or, you know, just, I guess, just visual, you know, associations that are in, you know, kind of the urban landscape, you know, when I drive to work and stuff.
You know, what I was struck with was that many of your sketches and drawings really do resemble the finished work. Is that a goal of yours, or is that really how you sort of want to work in terms of the finished product?
Well, I would say that, you know, I do a lot of drawing as far as research and development. They don't necessarily turn out to be finished products, sometimes, but not always. And, you know, it's almost like I'm always thinking of, like, different materials and different ideas, and I try to draw them out and sketch them because I have this rough idea in my mind. But then I look at, you know, these sketches and drawings as a whole, and they all look very similar.
Yeah, they're very beautiful.
Thank you.
They really are. Some of the materials that you work with, again.
I work with conduit. I work with category 3 wire, THHN wire. I work with sticks, dye bond, glitter, hair tinsel, tape, straws, among other things.
What are some comments that you've heard from people who view your work? What are some what have you heard about your work, and maybe overhearing someone or asking a question?
I've actually heard people comment on it, how it's, you know, very associated with, you know, just elements that they would find in, you know, construction, but also celestial bodies. So, and, you know, and not only that, but just kind of organic networks also.
Yeah.
So it's really important for me that the work resembles and has associations with, like, things that exist on the micro scale, which would be, you know, like blood vessel networks in your body, but also, like, things that exist on the macro scale, which, you know, like larger infrastructure elements in our surroundings.
I'm talking with Miles Nettinger, who is an artist. Would you say multidiscipline artist, in a sense, because you're transforming sort of different materials and...
Yeah, multidisciplinary. I think that's pretty good.
I like that. And your website?
Is milesnettinger.org.
Yeah, because I know this is more, you know, talk radio and that sort of thing. So if people want to check out your work, you kind of get a sense of what it's about, what we're talking about. Upcoming events or projects that you have going on?
Upcoming, I've got Mind Body Entente at the UMKC Gallery. That's going to be in January. I'm going to have a piece at Ha Contemporary in January. And presently, I actually have an installation of it, Springfield Museum of Art in Springfield, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I told our listeners that your work has been published in Art in America.
Yeah, I had a small blurb in Art in America a few years ago. It was very nice.
What was the work?
It was an untitled piece from a show at La Esquina, and that was in 2008, I believe.
And Everything We See Is Never Enough was a piece that you constructed for the Nerman Museum?
Yeah, that's right. I was actually, I had the fortune to work with Bruce Hartman, who's an amazing person at the Nerman, and he was very generous and gave me 2 weeks to really go in and, you know, experiment in this space, and it was an amazing experience.
How do you approach something like that? I mean, where do you begin? It's almost like facing a blank canvas.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of the work starts off with, you know, like small modular pieces. When I decided to do an installation, it really begins to formulate from kind of like looking at these small modules and trying to construct a larger conversation between elements. You know, but sometimes I'm not allowed that amount of time, so I'm more inclined to do more planning procedures and drawing. And that's usually when I have a specific time frame to do these things.
Well, and also I should mention that you were granted a Vermont Studio Center residency in 2001. So it just sort of helps to get away and rethink and really just focus on your work.
I would say that is very true. And I feel very fortunate right now. I'm at Studios Inc. Shout out to Colby Smith. That's been an amazing experience because, you know, I've really been allotted the time and space to create this work, you know, without thinking about, you know, like the financial obligations of, you know, the rent for a studio.
Yeah, I mean, that's really huge. Also, in that, though, are you surrounded by other artists so that you can sort of, you know, have these discussions and interact with them about the work?
It's very nice. I feel very fortunate to be in that community. And, I would suggest to any artist, you know, to meet with other artists and to get feedback.
It's really important.
It is. It's extremely important.
Do you find yourself working alone, or do you have some collaborations in the works?
I actually just recently finished up with two interns from the Kansas City Art Institute. They were in the fiber department, and they were amazing. But usually I do work alone. I've done collaborations before. You know, I did the public art proposals with Draw Architecture and Urban Design, and that was with Dominique Davidson and Ryan Warman. That was an amazing experience because it was, you know, like, it was almost like I had to try to create sculptures with a parameter of, I guess, you know, pedestrians and material and weather. So it was an interesting experience.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, you mentioned the fiber department. You know, recently they had the end of the semester show there, and they had these huge pieces of cardboard. And I don't know who, if it was actually foundations or fiber, but they were huge pieces. Cardboard, just really interesting, beautiful pieces. I say fiber because your work has a sort of a quality about that that's very fluid and very visceral, you know.
Yeah, I think that, you know, these are tangible elements that are kind of, they're constructed in a manner that is very craft-oriented, but it's, you know, has associations with, you know, I guess, materials that aren't craft-oriented. If that makes any sense.
So if a viewer is looking really closely at your work and they go to touch it, is that a no-no?
It actually...
or depends on the piece.
Yeah, it really depends on the piece, because I've got a few pieces in my studio that are, like, you know, they're absolutely okay to touch.
Yeah.
But there's also a few that I really would prefer people not touch.
Yeah. And I guess that, again, I guess it depends on, you know, the installation of the work and that sort of thing. So, you know, we can find you on Facebook as well?
Yes, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and I'm also on Twitter. Or you can see my website directly at milesneidinger.org.
You know, and let's see, you have upcoming...
I've got an upcoming group show called Mind, Body, and Daunt at UMKC Gallery. That's in January. Haw Contemporary, January. And presently I have an installation displayed at Springfield Museum of Art, and that is through April of 2016, I believe.
You know, I want to invite you back anytime you want to come and join us and share your work with us on air, talking about your work and that sort of thing. And you know, let us know what inspires you, and let us know what's going on with Miles.
Will do.
Very
good. Thank you,
Maria. Thank you for coming in. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You're tuned into ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, your host, and... all around good guy. I want to say right now we have Sean Peavy in the house. He's here to discuss his new book release and read live here in our studio. His work is called Nobody Steals the Towels from a Hotel 6. His poetry book release in open mic is happening December 19th, which is Friday, yeah?
Saturday.
Saturday, okay, very good. That's going to be at Prospero's Books at 1800 West 39th Street here in Kansas City. Sean Peavy has delivered newspapers. I love this. I got to read this, sorry.
Okay.
Sean Peavy has delivered newspapers, mowed lawns, bagged groceries, cut meat, laid sewer pipe, bused tables, washed dishes, roofed houses, crunched numbers, rented cars, worked in hotels, and been paid to write everything from resumes to music reviews. Currently, he earns a living as a technical recruiter in Michigan, Kansas, where he lives with his fiancée and three worthless but adorable cats. He is the author of Talking to Shadows, Main Street Rag Press, 2008, co-founder and former associate editor of the Main Street Rag Literary Journal, and a former board member and officer of The Writer's Place, which is a Kansas City-based literary nonprofit organization. His poems, essays, and journalism appear in a variety of national and regional publications. He's hosted poetry readings in bars, coffee shops, haunted houses, bookstores, and abandoned warehouses. He's a graduate of the University of North Carolina's undergraduate honors creative writing program. He likes his Tom Waits Loud, his Bourbon Single Barrel, and his basketball, Carolina Blue. Welcome, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, so good to have you here. I think when we first started ArtSpeak Radio almost 3 years ago, we, you know, you were one of our first guests.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm glad, you know, we should not let this much time, you know, lapse between us. But your book, Nobody Steals the Towels from a Motel 6, very intriguing title. I love that. Where does it come from?
Well, the title comes from a line in the last poem of the book, which is interesting. It was a line, actually, that came from a poem that didn't ever really quite work.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I threw that poem away, kept the line, was able to wedge it into this other poem, and it was one of those rare occasions where I didn't have to murder my darling.
You know, Sean, you've written for so many years, but you're also a musician.
Very amateur musician.
Well, but you know your stuff. What inspired you for this whole body of work for this book?
Well, to be honest, Jason Reberg inspired this book by telling me I had to have a book ready by December. about this time last year. This is part of the pop poetry series that's being published by Spartan Press. And so they have undergone the Herculean task of publishing a book a month for the last 12
fantastic months.
And they're so crazy they're going to do it again next year.
Yeah. It's been very popular.
They have turned out some amazing work. Yeah. I've been impressed out of my skin all mm-hmm. along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's where the inspiration comes from. As far as music, to get to your earlier point, music, I think, informs everything I do as a poet. I'm always mm-hmm. thinking about sound and always thinking about rhythm and meter. Even if I'm writing, you know, so-called free verse,
mm-hmm.
The poetry has to sing at some level. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it doesn't work for me.
But in that, you're not really, I guess, hearing that, I'm thinking spoken word. So it's a different sort of.
Well, spoken word is a different art.
Right.
I like to think that my poems live well off the page as well as they do on the page.
Yeah.
When I'm getting it right,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't
mm-hmm.
always work out
mm-hmm.
that way.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get it right,
mm-hmm.
They sound good and they look good on the page.
Mm-hmm.
Not to diminish spoken word as an
sure.
art form, because I think
sure.
it's very important, and a lot of great things are being done there. But I tend to focus more on what's happening on the page,
right.
and how each word dances together,
mm-hmm.
And how I can bring disparate ideas together and that tenuous thread of connection.
I love that. You know, just a side note, I did attend a poetry and spoken word competition yesterday at Wyandotte High School, and I was really happy to see so many young people participating, and not just spoken word, but poetry. I mean, actual poetry. So it thrilled me, you know, to hear upcoming talented writers. You know, and you've written for so many years, haven't you?
Many, yes.
Yeah.
We won't go into how many.
Bless your heart. You have your book in front of us, so would you like to share some work with us?
Sure. I thought I'd start with, and my apologies to you. 2 years ago, we worked together on the Radio Ringa.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. Duh, I didn't even mention that.
Right.
Yes, thank you.
And I had a work thing and could not make it to the studio that night that we were to perform it. So now I'm getting to make it up and perform my piece from that Ringa, which is a collaborative poem where each poet contributes 10 lines. So this, I got to start it off, I guess, 2 years ago, and mm-hmm. here's mine. To start, it vibrates our cochlear bones, those living cones that funnel sound to wet gray brains as waves oscillate through sky in a frequency of deep longing, moving body and blood in such funk that it whisks us down, down through time to a moment when radio becomes a thing of our own. At night, through headphones, as parents think we sleep, a distant station strums our dreams. Can you hear it? Can't you just hear it now?
Thank you, Sean. You know, I don't know where my mind was at. Yes, you were very instrumental in putting together that Renga, so thank you. Thank you so much. Well, really, thank you.
Yeah, but, I just hated, you know, not being able to be here when we unveiled it.
Well, it happens. Would you like to read some more? Because, you know, your work is so powerful, and I used this word earlier, but it's visceral, you know. You could almost lick those words.
Well, thank you. That's possibly the highest compliment I've ever been paid, so thank you very much. This is a poem that I wrote about the death of my paternal grandfather. And without going into a lot of details, he was a fantastic guy. I think my gift, my genetic gift for poetry and music comes kind of from him. He apparently could play anything with strings and also trombone, and was always reciting little poems that he'd written when we were kids, and always had a book in his hands. I come by it honest.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Thermodynamics for Luther Pavey. The ground that bore him swallowed him whole. Between Christmas and New Year's, my father's father dressed in a suit never worn except for weddings and other funerals. Around his unaccustomed neck, a tie. In his trousers pocket, a buckeye, small and smooth, a piece of his earth. Ever present, he would hold it in his hands between his palm and fingers, that fruit of immense wooden possibilities. In his little corner of Indiana, on a hill overlooking his house and the land he worked, near his father and mother gone some 50 years, those who knew him gathered to watch what he left behind be lowered into dirt. The mound of earth settles now. By the end of spring, it will level and in years concave. With luck, the buckeye will sprout from his hip, will spread thick, solid roots deep through his body, snap casket walls, pull in soil. The roots will break brittle bones and grind my granddad to dust. And from the place of his long sleep, a tree will spring forth through sod, will grow tall, will stretch into sky toward sun. Years from now, I will come back to that grave to touch a tree's rough bark, be shaded by its branches, breathe oxygen from its leaves, and know, as he knew, as we all know, that energy can neither be created nor destroyed.
Beautiful. Wow. Wow, that's such a powerful piece. You know, you had a terrific mentor, sounds like, growing up through your granddad.
Yes, and I've been gifted by them. Just a little family history. Mm-hmm. My dad was with IBM, which stood at the time for either I've been moved or I've been moving. And so we bounced around as much as many military families might. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of robbed of being able to have those grandparents always present the way many people do.
Sure.
The times I did have with them were magical.
Beautiful. You know, we're going to take a real quick break for underwriting and take two, and we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio talking to Sean Pavey and his new book release, Nobody Steals the Towels from a Motel 6. We'll be right back. and you're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, talking with the ever-talented and wonderful Sean Pavey about his new book release, Nobody Steals the Towels from a Hotel 6. So thank you for coming in this afternoon, Sean.
You're welcome.
You know, you're browsing through your book. I hope you will read something else from that.
Sure. Very glad to.
Go ahead.
I will go ahead. The last two pieces were kind of heavy. I do have my lighter moments, and I was trying to find one of those.
You know, I have to ask you, as a writer, when you read something that's a little bit heavier, do people sort of look at you like, gee, this kid needs help? I mean...
Well, actually, occasionally, yes. It's never a good idea to let somebody read your poems before you ask them out. Occasionally people look at you with those concerned eyes.
Yeah.
I try to separate the poems as much as I can from who I really am.
So. Well, I think that happens just in art, that people read into something of their own, you know, values or ideas. So it's okay, because I know you, and you're healthy in every way.
Well, good. I wrote this thing. I should be able to find the poem. It's here somewhere.
Okay.
Ah, there it is. Occasionally, I'll have a crazy dream, and this is one of them. In my dream with Bruce Springsteen and Steven Van Zandt, there I was, sandwiched on a love seat in a coffee shop between the boss and little Steven, like it was a thing that happened. I asked them how long they'd be in town. I invited Bruce to a poetry reading. He said he'd try to make it, and I believed him. I showed Steven my guitars. We walked down the stairs to my basement, which apparently is under the coffee shop. Steven brought my beat-up Stratocaster with him. The lights downstairs didn't work. Spider webs covered everything. We swept the webs and spiders away with a broom until we found the functioning light switch. We took my guitars apart together, and Steven showed me how to swap out the pickups, and Bruce showed me some soldering tips, screwed the back plate back on. Emerging from sleep, I looked around my storm-darkened bedroom as Naomi showered for work. The cats wanted food. It was Thursday.
I love that. Very good. You know, just to recap for our listeners, your the Pop Poetry book release and open mic will happen December 19th, 8 o'clock at Prospero's Books at 1800 West 39th Street here in Kansas City, Missouri. Nobody Steals the Towels from a Motel 6. So for more information?
There is a Facebook page for the event. Just look for do a search on Facebook for my name, Sean Pavey.
Sure.
That's S-H-A-W-N. There is a link there on that page for an Eventbrite link if you would like to attend the event. And then my webpage is seanpavey.com, which I'll be updating over the next week or so. It's all about the last book, so I'm trying to get it updated. Prospero's on Saturday night.
Terrific. Sean, let's not wait so much, through so much time for you to come back on air and read some poetry to us.
Okay.
So, very good luck with your new book release.
Thanks so much.
It's just a wonderful collection of poetry. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
You bet. Listen, we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio and Heather Thornton. And you're tuned into Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, and we just heard from Heather Thornton, singer-songwriter, local talented musician. Her Christmas song, Heather Thornton's here in the studio. As I mentioned, she is a musician, singer-songwriter, and she's going to talk about her new CD release and about the event at the Friends of Lakeside Nature Center for Heather's Art Garden CD release party and holiday show. Welcome, my
Thank
friend.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
You know, that was really a lovely tune.
Well, it's all about growing up and really loving Christmas.
Yeah.
My mom always made it so special for everybody. She was over the top. And just every year we all looked forward to it, and it brought the family together. Everybody was nice to each other.
for one day, right?
And then there's always the food.
Yeah. No, that's really lovely. So let's talk about what's happening. The Earth is a Beautiful Place was your first album.
It's the one that just got finished.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one coming out. We're celebrating the release of it this Sunday at one of my favorite places, Lakeside Nature Center. They take such good care of our animals. So I've developed a relationship with them, and they let me do a lot of the kid shows there. And because we do the Cash for Critters every year, mm-hmm. and they say, mm-hmm. well, you can use it for the kid show whenever.
You know, and it's a terrific place to go and see nature up close.
Yes.
You know, and learn about environment and ecology and all of that. Lakeside Nature Center is located at 4701 East Gregory here in Kansas City, Missouri. And that event's going to take place Sunday, December 20th from 12:30 and then at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, we have two shows that day. Sometimes people can't make it to the early one,
yeah.
and so we just do two back-to-back shows, 1 hour apiece. And then if people want to stay, they go out and they look at the eagles or the coyote, the turtles, and all the different animals. And I think they're going to even have the little fake tattoos for the kids. I got a praying mantis last year.
Of course. So your new CD release, how exciting is that? Congratulations!
It's so exciting.
Yeah.
I decided a couple of years ago to start writing children's music. Michael O'Shiver was like, hey, you've got the right personality and the right approach. I think you should try it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing children's music, and I never imagined I would become so obsessed with it, realizing that it's a great opportunity to also influence young minds and try to get
Absolutely.
Them excited about nature, connecting to our planet through music and art, and finding ways to express themselves and to explore and use their imagination. And nature's just such a great outlet for all of that.
I agree. So you have your keyboard in here, and you're going to perform for us live, yes?
Sure.
Excellent.
You've probably heard this song too much, but it is the
I can never
the title
enough.
Track of the album and a great warm-up tune.
Okay.
Oh, and I'm just now catching my breath from carrying this giant beast up in here. My keyboard's huge and stickered. This song is called The Earth is a Beautiful Place, and it's what really started the whole business of children's music. And it's just written, my inner child wrote this song. The earth is a beautiful place, the earth is a beautiful place, with flowers and trees, birds and bees, rivers and lakes, ocean and seas, puppy dogs and big fat frogs. Yeah, the earth is a beautiful place, the earth is a beautiful place. The earth is a beautiful place, with friends at school, summer and pools, apple pie and molecules, growing up and falling in love. Yeah, the earth is a beautiful place. The earth is round, blue and green, the prettiest place I've ever seen. We're held down by gravity. It's home to you and it's home to me. The sky is a beautiful place. The sky is a beautiful place. With the moon and the sun, eagles having fun, Jupiter and Mars, Saturn and the stars, clouds of white, the day and night. Yeah, the sky is a beautiful place. The beach is a beautiful place. The beach is a beautiful place, with turtles and sand, crabs and clams, beach balls, seagulls, a shell in your hand, sunscreen, footprints, and waves on the sand. Yeah, the beach is a beautiful place. The earth is round, blue and green, the prettiest place I've ever seen. We're held down by gravity. It's home to you and it's home to me. The earth is a beautiful place. The earth is a beautiful place. The families and friendly faces. Music, ice cream, and mountain ranges. Watching all the seasons change. Yeah, the earth is a beautiful thing. Earth is a beautiful thing. Earth is a beautiful place.
I never get tired of hearing that song.
Yay.
For real.
A friend of mine, a local singer-songwriter, Adriana Nicole, was telling me she was going through the mountains of Colorado, and that was what was going through her head. So I
perfect. Perfect soundtrack. You know, as we mentioned, the CD release party, that is Sunday, December 20th at the Lakeside Nature Center. There's going to be animal demonstrations. Introduction to unique instruments?
Yes. One thing I love so much about this album, it's all original, and we used a lot of interesting instrumentation on it. We have a harp, a full-size orchestral harp on it, with Michael O'Shiver playing that. We have Bree Plaster coming in with all of her brilliance of different types of percussion, and also Sunny Ray, Rachel Bowerman Deering. She does some percussion. She plays harmonica and various different whistles and things like that. We've got a theremin on the album,
wow,
which is very bizarre.
Wow.
It was interesting to watch Dr. Victor as he played the air.
Wow.
And then I do a kazoo solo that'll blow your mind. But it was fun to just use different types of instruments. Mm-hmm. Of course, Victor Penman plays the electric viola da gamba, which you do not hear very often.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And it's just a whole lot of fun. It equates to a great amount of creativity and stuff you don't always hear.
Well, it's going to be a family-oriented, just, you know, bring the kids and the grandmothers and grandfathers and all that. But also, special guest? You have a special guest
we
that
do.
Afternoon?
Calvin Arsini is going to be a special guest.
We love
and,
our
it
Calvin.
Sounds like we're going to have him doing live painting during this production. Because, you know, it's Heather's art garden, so we have to use some art in there.
I love that. And also, there's an introduction to sign language, holiday songs, lessons about nature, and refreshments.
Yes, yes, the whole nine yards. It's going to be a good time. You know, I like for people to feel very warm and inviting when they come to my events, and feel like they're part of the production. And, you know, every time they leave, they feel good. I like that.
You're very busy. You're all over the city with not only your Heather's Art Garden, but you recently performed at CODA.
I did. Yeah, I've got, you know, of course, I do the children's music, which I'm obsessed with right now.
Yeah.
But I also do music for adults or any ages. It does, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just whatever music pops out. But I released another album earlier this year, Working for a Living Ain't What It Used to Be.
Yeah, that one's good.
It is a lot different than this album.
Well, and for our listeners, let's tell them your website.
Oh, my website is heatherthorntonmusic.com. Or if you want to check out the kids' stuff, you can go to heathersartgarden.com, and there are Facebook pages for both of those as well.
And the lakesidenaturecenter.org for more information about the times and location and that. Do you have another song in you that you'd like to share?
Sure. Gosh, let me see. Maybe I'll do the creepy song. We'll see. Okay, so I've kind of developed this reputation as the mantis lady because I ended up raising some praying mantis for a while, and I just found that whole thing to be fascinating. So fascinating that I wrote a song about it. And in this song on the album, we actually do have the theremin that kind of comes in as the character of the mantis. So it's fun to watch the kids because they get scared by the song, but it's a good kind of scared. It's like, it's fun. Okay, so this is called The Praying Mantis.
I'm a praying mantis creeping through the garden, creeping through the garden, looking for some bugs to eat. I'm a praying mantis creeping through the garden, creeping through the garden, looking for some bugs to eat. I eat flies and crickets and grasshoppers too, beetles and squirmy worms. A moth or mosquito will always do, and the cockroach will have his turn. I'm a praying mantis, creeping through the garden, creeping through the garden, looking for some bugs to eat. I'm a praying mantis, creeping through the garden, creeping through the garden, looking for some bugs to eat. I eat fleas and stink bugs and dragonflies, ticks and centipedes too. Ants and beautiful butterflies, even the spider will do.
Ew.
I'm a praying mantis, creeping through the garden, creeping through the garden, looking for some bugs to eat. I'm a praying mantis, creeping through the garden, creeping through the garden, looking for some bugs to eat. I have 5 eyes and 4 legs, 2 arms and a pair of wings. I cannot fly very well, but I love catching creepy crawly things. I'm a praying mantis, creeping through the garden, creeping through the garden, looking for some bugs to eat. I'm a praying mantis, creeping through the garden, creeping through the garden, I found another bug to eat.
That is terrific.
It's ridiculous.
But, you know, it's just a lot of fun. I mean, your music is so full of joy. And I understand, you know, how you really got, you know, hooked into writing children's music. Because you are a big kid at heart.
Yeah.
You really are.
I am. Well, and it's amazing how it can just sweep you away. It's so whimsical. And yeah. It really allows for the imagination to be engaged. And, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of bad mood I might be in. When I start singing the bear song, I can't help but smile.
Give us a snippet of the bear song.
Okay.
She's a bear, a grizzly bear. She has brown hair and lives up there in the mountains, in the mountains, in the mountains, in the mountains. She's a bear, a grizzly bear. She loves to eat fish from the stream in the mountains, in the mountains, in the mountains, in the mountains. She loves wild berries and honey. When her babies play, it's so funny. And every winter, she sleeps in a cave.
She gets the idea. It's really
that
fun.
Is so much fun. You know,
I think that's Dr. Victor's favorite song, because him and Bree, who plays Bumble Bree, my drummer Bree is amazing. She dresses up like a bumblebee in the show, and we call her Bumble Bree.
Of course.
And I even wrote a theme song for her, and she hands out flowers to the kids, and it's so cute.
It's so interactive. I think that's really a positive thing for, you know, for the audience. Very interactive.
Well, and you can tell when you're doing it right because the eyes light up. There's a whole different type of connection that happens when you know they're paying attention, when you know that you've struck a chord within the children. And whether it's, you know, talking about an animal or they're interested in the musicians that are playing, whatever it might be, you can tell when you've made that connection, and it is priceless.
Now, are you available for school groups and organizations?
Yes, we're working out all of that. We're available anywhere up from a solo to a full-sized band, and we're really trying to work with a bunch of different organizations to have events that do good things for the community and bring people together and kind of get them involved.
Multi-generational sort of gathering.
Yes.
Very good.
Because we also do a lot of work with seniors in the collective of musicians that I work with. And so to bridge that gap, and especially when you do a show where you have the seniors and you have the children, to watch the different levels of joy happening is really special.
Beautiful. Heather Thornton, thank you so much for joining us. You know, you're a very good friend of KKFI, so whenever you're in the studio, you just light up this the station.
I feel the same way about you.
Ah, bless your heart. Any last words?
Well, I hope that everybody likes the album as much as I do. My good friend Bree, she got a hold of it. She basically told me that if I didn't allow her to have a copy, she was going to freak out. So she's been listening to it nonstop, and it's nice to know that the people I worked with are enjoying it as much as I do, and as much as I know the children and adults will.
Very good. Thank you so much. I also want to thank Miles Nettinger and Sean Pavey, Heather Thornton. Next week, 12:23, we'll hear from Charlotte Street Foundation, the Lighten International Artists Organization, Cinema KC. Stay tuned for Jazz in the Afternoon with Jeff Harshbarger, followed by Groovy Grant at 3 o'clock. 6 o'clock, we have